CBS, I'm the World, I'm John Batchelor. A stark and spectacular headline from the Globe and Mail, Canada. FBI finds Canadian link in covert Chinese police station probe. The first paragraph begins a mystery story. One of two men arrested for allegedly operating a secret police station for China in Manhattan had photographic evidence on his phone of the opening of a similar covert station in Canada, according to the FBI. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we race immediately to Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute, who helps us understand the politics and the geopolitics of revelations such as this. Charles, a very good evening to you. This is spectacular. I'm going to guess that you're not surprised. How is the news being welcomed in Canada right now? Because we've had stories for some weeks about Chinese interference in Canadian affairs. Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I mean, it's of a piece in the sense that security agencies have been alerting the senior levels of the Canadian government about Chinese operations, malign operations, illegal operations in Canada for some time. And for reasons which as yet are unexplained, the government has not responded to these reports. And the upshot has been that officials of security agencies have been leaking documents in, you know, to their considerable personal risk in violation of their commitment to Canadian secrecy regulations, to explain to people that they know what's going on, but the government is not willing to do anything about it. So the police stations, I think, you know, I'm not sure that the reference to them as police stations fully encapsulates what we're talking about here, which is that in Canada and other countries abroad, the Chinese embassy and consulates are running additional proxy agencies through these so-called police stations or through Confucius Institutes or through the front organizations of the Chinese Communist Party Unite Front Work Department, where they are engaging in activities to further Chinese interests. You know, whether it's harassment of people in Canada who try and expose the malign nature of the Chinese regime's international operations, or whether it's through pressuring persons of Chinese origin to collaborate in various forms of espionage, or trying to influence Canadian policymakers. You know, these agencies are where the money gets passed in schemes that have been revealed. For example, the Chinese government's providing funds through proxies to support political candidates that they favor. You know, the money is not going to be handed out. The reimbursement for the political donations is not going to be handed out by people going through the front door of an embassy or consulate. It's through this network of Chinese service stations, as they're called, throughout Canada in all the major cities that these kinds of pervasive operations are taking place. So it's part of an increasingly tight network by the Chinese regime to further its interests and to debase Canada's society and democracy. And so far, our government is not doing anything about it, even though more and more of these police stations, so-called, are being discovered in cities up and down Canada.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, for decades in the United States, the U.S. presidents have ignored violations of U.S. sovereignty by Chinese Ministry of State Security agents and Chinese consular officials. I think for different reasons than that's been ignored in Canada. But in the U.S. right now, there is so much public pressure that is forcing a reluctant Biden administration to start to take action. Do you think that public pressure in Canada will similarly force a reluctant Trudeau to act?
Well, so far, we're not seeing evidence of that. There, you know, the government has promised the equivalent of the U.S. Foreign Agents Registry Act. Canada doesn't have any such thing or anything equivalent to the Australian Foreign Influence Transparency Scheme Act. It's very much supported by the population at large. I have two opinion pieces coming out in two Canadian major newspapers in the next few days urging that we adopt such an act. But the government simply doesn't want to do it. And I think it's because if there was a requirement that people who are influential in Canadian policy were required to reveal their sources of foreign funding and benefits, that too many Canadians at the senior levels of both political parties, the Liberals and the Conservatives, would be exposed as having been inveigled through their naivety, greed and vanity into serving the interests of a foreign power when they should be in a position of trust to serve the interests of Canada. So, you know, we're getting a lot of virtue signaling, but there's also a concerted effort, including on the part of the Prime Minister, to suggest that if such an act was instituted, that it would be similar to the internment of Japanese and Italians during World War II, or would lead to a massive upsurge in racism against Chinese people. Both of these are red herrings. The Chinese community supports such an act because, you know, they and the Uyghurs and the Tibetans want to see some control of Chinese influence in our society, which works against democratic interests. So, you know, it's the degree of desperation on the part of the government to try and stave off any such effective legislation really suggests that the problem inside the Canadian elite is extremely serious.
The Globe and Mail. I'm unfamiliar with your papers and their political opinions of China and Canada's relationship. How would you characterize the Globe and Mail? Because everything has changed over the years.
You know, obviously, you know, most newspapers are representing the interests of what we refer to as the Laurentian elite. This is the sort of Quebec, Ontario, Maritimes consortium of an elite class, which has certain political views of the woke nature that they try and articulate. But among Canadian newspapers, the most newspaper with the most circulation is the Toronto Star, which is explicitly liberal. But the Globe and Mail, I think, tries to maintain a more neutral stance. But the bottom line is that, you know, it's hard for people in the conservative spectrum in Canada to get a strong voice. The National Post is a newspaper which is, you know, failing economically. And so there is a difficulty of getting the information out. But I think in terms of China, you know, I'll be publishing in the Toronto Star on Saturday and the Globe and Mail the following week. So it does suggest that there's consensus within the media elite that the message about China has to get out one way or another.
Yes, there doesn't seem to be any ambiguity here. Is that new, Charles, that this is clearly we're talking about villainy in these arrests?
Yes, I think that, you know, I think that those elements, you know, maybe primarily in the Toronto Star, although I have been publishing with them for some time, that may have been sympathetic to the idea that Canada should be more accepting of China as a means to counter the influence of the United States in Canada. Those people have been pretty much discredited. And I think there's consensus in the public and in the media that something has to be done about Chinese influence at our elite levels. The problem is that, you know, the people who will be investigated are the people who get to determine whether there's going to be a proper government investigation. And so far, the people that have been called upon as so-called neutral investigators of Chinese influence in Canada have been shown to be themselves implicated in China themselves. So, you know, it's we're right now facing a bit of a conundrum between popular opinion and the desire of the government to defend the interests of people who are evidently in the pocket of Beijing.
We have about a minute, Gordon, for a quick question.
Charles, is anybody in Ottawa concerned that Ottawa's pro-China stance will distance itself from its traditional allies like the U.S. and the other Five Eyes partners?
Well, I think that we're already seeing that in the sense of the Australia, UK, US alliance in Indo-Pacific excludes Canada and New Zealand, despite the fact that Canada isn't a country on the Indo-Pacific and the UK is not. But I think that there's, in general, I think a concern and a legitimate concern in Canada that the United States is getting fed up with Canada's promises when senior Canadian officials are in Washington to friendshore or decouple from China.
We have about 30 seconds,
and then speaking
seconds,
a different
Charles,
line in Canada. So, you know, this could affect the relations and the economic relations between Canada and the United States in years ahead.
Charles Burton is at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. He's also helping me understand the Canadian media's transformation from accepting of China as an investment partner and trade partner to what we now have is the suspicion that China is spying on everyone and using its authority to bully people in Canada. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.